Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are in class with Joseph. Lessons in God's Plan. In this session, we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 to 34, the need to trust in God's plan. A relationship with God that is of any consequence must be one of total trust. And yet, we can so easily negate our profession of trusting Jesus by the lifestyle we live. We pledge allegiance to God, but we reserve the right to add on not. God, I trust you with my finances. Not. Lord, I give you complete control of my life. Not. Father, be the Lord of our home. Not. Let me ask you, in what way do you add not to your commitments? We can so easily be tempted and influenced by this world's lifestyles. Turn to John 17 for a moment. Jesus said in verse 15, I did not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Is it possible for believers to live and thrive as professing Christians in the world? Some believe you must physically separate. Example is the Amish. It's easy to be Christ-like if you live in a monastery. You don't have to deal with people for the most part. Believers can live and thrive in the world. In fact, the world is the incubator of spiritual growth. It's the playing field of Christianity. Listen, we can be safe in the enemy's camp because of an important spiritual truth. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And I say all this to introduce another turning point in the life of Joseph. What we see in Genesis 46. So far, we've seen Joseph sold into slavery by his own brothers and then sent to prison for a false accusation. We witnessed him remain faithful to God amid suffering. Then we saw Joseph's vision fulfilled. We watched as God restored Joseph to his brothers and as he initiated bringing Jacob to Egypt. Now, we will observe God's activity in Jacob's life. And maybe we can see there what's necessary to live and thrive Christ-like in this world. An intimate relationship, a confident dependence, and a firm commitment. These can be viewed in the record of Jacob entering Egypt. The Old Testament is full of types and antitypes. Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. Joseph is a type of Christ. Israel is a type of the church. You see the picture? First, look at Genesis 46 to see what's necessary. Let's look at that chapter. Genesis 46. Let's look at that to see what's necessary to live Christ-like in this world. First, you must have an intimate relationship. An intimate love relationship with the Lord. Verse 1. So Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said to him, Here I am. And so he said, I am God, the God of your father, Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. Jacob left for Egypt based on circumstances, to survive the famine, and a desire to see Joseph. But you know, there was no mention of Jacob seeking God's will before leaving. He stopped to offer sacrifice at Beersheba, like Abraham and Isaac also did. If you look at Genesis 21, verse 33, and look at Genesis 26 and verse 25. Because the direct route to Egypt went right through this very special place, Beersheba. In Genesis 21, verse 33, it says that Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And in chapter 26, in verse 25, speaking of Isaac, he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him in the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. Jacob must have expressed concern in his prayer. Why? Well, notice God's response in verses 3 and 4. He identified himself as God. He encouraged him not to fear. And he renews the promise. He committed to be there in Egypt with Jacob. He promised to deliver him. And he gave a source of comfort. There is hope in the Christian life. When we seek the Lord, He will respond to us in the very same way. This is the same God who calls us into ministry. His promises are just as valid for us today. Think of a time when you sought the Lord with a concern. What was His response? So you must have an intimate relationship. And then second, you must have a confident dependence. Look at verse 5, down to verse 27. And the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones and their wives, in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt. Jacob and all his descendants with him. His sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. And verses 8 to 25 list all the descendants of Jacob at that moment. All the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt, verse 26. So after there's this list of all the descendants, we jump to verse 26. And all the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body, besides Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph who were born to him in Egypt were 2 persons. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. It says that Joseph arose from Beersheba, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. Jacob went on with confidence. God was in control. Israel was leaving the promised land. Jacob would have just passed on the promise to his sons right there in Canaan. But, listen, it's God who determines his servant's pilgrimage. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9 is clear. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Jacob traveled to Egypt, somewhere around 1875 BC and dwelled there for 430 years. And Israel's exodus was around 1445 BC. We must always be ready to take a new direction. Jacob did at age 130 because God wasn't finished yet. Israel wasn't a great nation yet. And many years had already passed since Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 through 3. When Abraham received the promise, Jacob's descendants totaled 70. Not much of a nation. But Israel grew mighty in Egypt. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 7 reads, "The children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them." We must be patient in waiting for God to act on His promises. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 22 says, "A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time." A nation of 70 people would not survive a worldwide famine. And so, as Bruce Wilkerson wrote, God took this embryo of a nation and planted it in the surrogate womb of Egypt. In the safety of Goshen, this tiny people of God grew mighty and strong. At the appropriate moment, slavery caused the labor pains to begin. Too big for her womb, the Lord delivered the nation of Israel, a nation of between 2 to 3 million came out. They survived and thrived in the midst of Egypt, the world. By the way, many years later, God also protected Jesus from Herod right there in Egypt. If Christians are to thrive in an ungodly environment, they must have an intimate relationship with God. They must have a confident dependence on God. And finally, you must have a firm commitment to God. Look at verse 28. "And then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, 'Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive.' And then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, 'I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation? That you shall say, your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians.'" Again, we see the power of forgiveness. Joseph in verse 28. Reread that. It was Judah's idea to sell Joseph, and he was later willing to give himself for Benjamin's freedom. Judah was the leader who went before Jacob. He was the family rep, not Reuben. You can receive that same cleansing from sin, that same kind of restoration. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In chapter 2, verse 1, My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Israel was encouraged to stand firm in their calling, remain shepherds in the face of hatred and ridicule by the Egyptians. Genesis 43, verse 32. So they set him a place by himself, and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And again, verse 34 of this chapter. Listen, how ready are you to stand for Jesus Christ alone in this world? How quickly do you simply sell out to the world in compromise? Answer that question. They remained faithful to their commitment, and they were protected from the enemy in Goshen. How quickly do you simply sell out to the world in compromise because you're afraid or you just won't stand alone? Joseph had a plan to secure a place for his family apart from the mainstream of Egyptian society. Yet, right there in Egypt, the sovereignty of God in action, no loss of identity as a people, the ability to maintain their culture. We can have confidence of God's protection right in the midst of enemy territory. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 8. The psalmist says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place." Jesus' promise in the Great Commission is, "I am with you always." Christians can thrive in an ungodly environment if they have an intimate relationship with God. If they have a confident dependence on God, and if they have a firm commitment to God. You get that thought, and you have a great day.